Thank you for coming to tonight's service. As we mentioned on Sunday evening, tonight we're going to have Elijah to bring the message. And had we not had a missionary with us on Sunday, we probably would have done something special as a send-off for Elijah and Anna on Sunday evening. But we were blessed to have a missionary with us. That was a wonderful day. But I just wanted to be careful that we didn't let this moment slip by us without at least recognizing some of the significance of it. Tonight itself is not necessarily a monumental night or anything like that, but really, as a church and as families, we have much to be thankful for tonight, as really we're just excited to see how God has led Anna and Elijah together and how they both committed their lives to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in vocational ministry. And that's a credit to the Lord primarily, and really all the credit goes to Him. But it's also a credit to our church, and anyhow, we're just thankful for what God has done, and we're excited to see how the Lord is going to use these young folks. Again, if we were to, you know, go out and make a missions presentation somewhere and say, yeah, this is a young couple that was sent out of our church to serve the Lord, and people would be like, oh, that's great. Well, that's what's happening. That's exactly what's happening. And so we want to recognize that and thank God for it and pray for Elijah and Anna as they go out and serve the Lord. And so anyhow, they've been packing up during the course of this week. Lots going on. And I appreciate Elijah being willing to take time to prepare and to bring us the message tonight in spite of everything else that's going on. They're planning to head out around lunchtime or after on Friday to move up to Lewisburg, West Virginia, and they're going to hit the ground running. And Elijah, I think it would be a good thing maybe before you preach tonight, just if you want to let the folks know a little bit of what you and Anna will be doing. And I understand they're going into a new situation, so they don't know everything that they're going to be doing, but they have a little bit of an idea, and maybe you'd be interested to hear some of the things that they'll be involved in. But anyhow, we appreciate these two young folks. They have been faithful church members through the years. When our family moved here, Elijah, I believe, was 7 years old. And so you've seen him growing up, and as well has been with us for a good while now. And it's just been a blessing. They've been faithful church services. They've been here basically every time the doors are open, visitation, King's Kids, it doesn't matter what it was. They've been here serving faithfully. And we appreciate that. We appreciate that as fellow church members, and again, as family members, we're especially proud of them and just excited what God is doing in their lives. So Elijah, thanks for preaching for us. We love you. We're going to miss you both very much around here. And thankfully, they're not, you know, going too far away. Not so far that we can't get to them, but anyhow, we're definitely going to miss them both very much. So anyhow, we love you both. Elijah, come preach to us.
All right, good evening. And you can go ahead and begin turning to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And really, a lot of the reason I think the Lord laid this passage on my heart was just because of this church. I'm so thankful for this church, being able to practically be raised in this church, and just all the people here have meant so much, from Sunday school teachers all the way up. I mean, on every level here, it's just been such a blessing. And we're not leaving here to go to a better church. We don't look at that at it that way at all. It's just the Lord leading us there. But certainly we love this church, love every single one of you. And up there we're going to be working in camp ministry. And the church runs a small camp up there, and also doing some bus ministry, evangelism, and just a lot of little things that you can get involved in. So we definitely appreciate your prayers for that. We'll need it. Especially getting settled in. Camp starts Monday, and we're going to be starting right, hit the ground running, as Dad said. So June 8th all the way till August. So we'd appreciate your prayers for that. And we're excited. We're a little bit stressed, to be honest, but very excited with what the Lord's going to do. So Hebrews chapter 10, if you're there by now, hope you are. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. It says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for the opportunity, the privilege to come before you into your house in the middle of the week. Lord, we love Wednesday evening when the week may not be going well, it may be going great, but Lord, it can get better either way. And I thank you so much for the privilege to get to sing to you, to praise you through that, now get to worship you by hearing your word. Lord, as you work in my heart, as I give it, Lord, I pray that it would be clear, that we would come away with what you want each one of us to get. Lord, just draw us each closer to you, and I pray all this in Jesus' name, amen. It's amazing, especially these days, what it takes to attract people and what people go after. You know, you look at attractions on the side of the road, these billboards, and sometimes I think, why would anyone be interested in going to that attraction? But yet there's so many people who go, so many people who seem interested. I ran across an article this afternoon. I was catching up on some news. It said, according to MSNBC, there's an albino buffalo that they've named Donald Trump in the Bangladesh Zoo. He's become a huge attraction because not only is he an albino, he also has a tuft of golden hair on top of his head that supposedly looks just like President Trump's. And I don't know if those are liberal people saying it looks like him just to make fun of him, but the fact is there have been a ton of people who've been going to the zoo just for that very reason. Whether you like the president or not, that's a crazy attraction. That's a crazy reason to go to a zoo. According to The Globe, the world's largest ball of twine, located in Kansas, drew over 10,000 visitors last year. The world's corn palace in South Dakota, who knew there was such a place, drew over 500,000 visitors in 2025. And in October alone of 2025, the Salem Witch Museum welcomed 1.1 million unique visitors. Certainly, I'm sure they were unique, interesting place up there. But then we contrast that with God's house. The average church in America will hold 200 people, yet the average service attendance on a Sunday morning is just under 60. That's a sad statistic when we think how many people will go after all these crazy attractions. And yet we have God's house where we can get strength, be with fellow believers, and we'll look at all these details. We have God's house, and yet people neglect it. It's a real problem today. And it's not just the lost. We shouldn't expect the lost to love to go to church because they don't have the Holy Spirit. We should still be inviting them, witnessing to them. But there's a problem when God's people don't want to be in God's house. When God's people, and it's not when they can't make time, it's when they won't make time. When it's possible for them to be in God's house, but they don't try. They don't even make an attempt. The title for the message this evening is, I Want to Go to Church. I Want to Go to Church. Psalm 122:1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Is that the feeling that we get when we go to church? And I understand, I'm preaching to the choir. I don't believe that the Lord laid this on my heart because we have a major issue in our Wednesday night service. But the fact is, all of us can be more faithful. And it doesn't just have to be church. We need to be faithful to the Lord in so many areas. And you come here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and that's a blessing. But this message really is not just on going to church, it's why we go to church. Because you can be faithful to church, you can come time and time again, but you can still lose focus on why you go to church. You can go to church for the wrong reasons. You can go to church 3 times a week, but it's just because it's a habit, it's a duty, or worse, it's a drudgery. So why do we go to church? The church is the pillar and ground of the truth according to the scripture. And it should be the pillar and ground of our lives. Most importantly, we should be inviting others to church. If we're faithful to church already, why not bring folks with us? So first, we go to church because Jesus is at church. That may sound trite. Obviously, Jesus is at church. Jesus is everywhere. But there's a reason the scripture says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of him, in the midst of them. Obviously, we know that Jesus is in the midst of two or three believers. The Bible said that way long before that. So why did Jesus say that again? Well, it's because when the believers gather in God's house, it's in a special way. The Lord can meet with you in a special way than he can't meet with you in any other way. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. Obviously, Jesus is everywhere, but there is something unique that happens when we're in God's house. You have God's presence, but you also have praises that are sung to him with other believers, conviction through God's word. Jesus is at church anytime his people are in church. So Jesus is in church all the time. We should be in church all the time. Verse 23 says, we can hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering for he is faithful that promised. Part of being faithful and holding the profession of our faith is being faithful to God's house. If he's commanded us to gather together, then disobeying that commandment means we're sinning. And again, you're all here tonight. Obviously, you're here. You're in church, and that's wonderful. But again, we've got to remember why we're in church. For one thing, it's commanded because Jesus is in church. People say, well, I can worship God anywhere. Anywhere I'm alone with God, that's a church. And maybe to some degree that's true, but think about it in other areas. You can eat a meal anywhere. You could eat every single meal, every single day of the week in your car. But you know what? It's not going to be very good quality food. You're going to be eating fast food. And for another thing, there's tons of distractions on your road. You're not going to be able to focus to enjoy the meal. So many things happening. But yet we act like church sometimes is a drive-thru. We could take it or leave it, or we can just have church at home or do whatever we want. But there's something unique when we come to church. Colossians 1:18 reads, and he is the head of the body, the church. Jesus is the head of the church, so we should go to the church to worship him. And we can worship him at home. We can worship him every day of the week, and we should. But we must worship him at church. Some people, I think, are too afraid to go to church because they feel like they don't look much like the head. Jesus is the head of the church, but they feel like, well, maybe me as a body part, I don't look so much like Jesus. But you know, that's a good thing to come to church then, because then you can see where you need to change. If you don't fit in, you know, to the Lord's body, that doesn't mean there's a problem with church. It means you need to change something in your own life. You've probably been to a fair or a carnival where they have those picture booths. Maybe it's a cutout person with a cowboy or something like that. Maybe it's a penguin, some crazy animal. You can put your face in there, you have the head, but then the rest of the body just doesn't fit at all. I think some people are afraid to go to church sometimes because of that, because the head looks right, Jesus is perfect, but then they're all out of line. But we can come to church, and that's part of how we get back in line. Again, some people think church is only for Easter or church is only for Christmas. Maybe they believe that Jesus is only there Christmas and Easter. But again, part of that is being more concerned with what other people think. They may think, well, my family members are going to be there on Easter. My friends are going to be there on Christmas. But think about it. Jesus is there all the time. And really, by doing that, you're thinking that your friends or your family are more important than the Lord. Jesus wants you there every time he's there, and that is all the time. Jesus is the foundation of the church. He's the rock on which the church is built. Again, it should be the foundation of our lives. We want to go to church because Jesus is there. So many times throughout the New Testament, Jesus refers to the church as the bride of Christ. We're a picture of Christ's bride. So really, skipping out on church means you're acting just like you're outside of Christ's bride. Means you're acting like you were never saved, like you're not part of Christ's bride. But when you are in church, it shows that you're a picture of Christ's bride, shows that you're a believer. We want to go to church because Jesus is there. Psalm 84, 1 through 2 reads, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts, how wonderful are they. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. How desperate are we to go to church? How much does it take to stop you from going to church? For some reason, people think it's too hard that God commands us to go to church, that God commands us to be faithful to his house. We have to be at church Sunday. We have to be at church Wednesday. But you know, if you think about it, max, maybe, you spend 4.5 to 5 hours a week at church. You compare it, you have 168 hours in a week. That's less than 3% of the week you're spending in the Lord's house. That's less than your tithe. That's not too much. That God doesn't ask too much. And we get to meet the Lord with other believers. And that's the second point. We go to church because fellow believers are there. That's why another reason we love to go to church. The Bible says in verse 24, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." It's hard to consider others when you don't see them. It's hard to consider other people at church when you don't see them at church. We can't pray for those prayer requests on Wednesday night if we're not there on Wednesday night to hear them. Now, some folks may say, well, I can be encouraged all by myself. I don't need to be in church. I can be spiritually encouraged. Think of how selfish that is, though. Maybe you shouldn't go to church for you. Maybe we should be considering one another to provoke others to love and good works. Maybe somebody else at church needs your encouragement, needs your kind words, needs your strength, just the encouragement of seeing another faithful believer in God's house. We don't go to church for us. There's nothing about this for us. The benefit we reap is secondary. First, we go to church for the Lord to be faithful to him, and then to encourage, to provoke others to love and good works. And it says, let us consider one another. That's open-ended. Every single person at church, not just your friends. And again, I don't think we have that problem at our church. Everybody here talks to everybody, and that's wonderful. It's God's family. That's the way it should be. But still, it can happen just because it isn't happening now. We've got to consider everyone. We go to church to encourage others, but we are encouraged through it. We encourage them, they encourage us, and we provoke one another to love, and through that, good works are shown. Jesus said that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. Through being in church, we can show that we're excited to be at church. We can provoke one another to love and to good works. Someone said, church is like a potluck. You can't show up empty-handed and eat all the spiritual casseroles. And don't be the guy who only brings napkins. That's true. We don't go to church to take. We go to church to give worship to the Lord, and to provoke one another to love and to good works, to be an encouragement to them. It's not about what we can get out of the message, out of the music. It's about what we can, first of all, give to the Lord, and then how we can encourage others, according to this passage. And it does encourage us so much when we see others coming to church, when we see someone new walk through the door. That should just make us excited. We should go over there and want to greet them. With that being said, we've got to come to church regardless of if there's visitors, regardless of whether the music encourages you, if the message just doesn't happen to speak to you that Sunday. It doesn't matter. God doesn't give any qualifications. We're to be in God's house no matter what. An author wrote, "When you were born, your mother brought you to church. When you were married, your wife brought you to church. When you die, your friends will bring you to church. Why not try coming to church on your own sometime?" And ultimately, we do come to church because it's commanded. God's commanded faithfulness. Some are forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And today, we would say many are forsaking. But again, we don't go to church because of others. We go to church for others, to be an encouragement to them. When we come to church and we're looking for other people to be there, we're looking to get an encouragement, if that person doesn't happen to be there, we may be discouraged. But if we're looking just to be a blessing to who's there and to worship the Lord, we'll always be encouraged. We'll always get a blessing from being in God's house. People will assemble for so many crazy reasons. People will go to sports games. They will paint their face in ridiculous ways. They'll scream for hours for a team that doesn't even know they exist. But yet, many people won't come to church because, well, it's just not that important. But yet that team's done nothing for you. In fact, it's probably costing you in tax dollars. And yet we go to that team, we cheer for that team, and we think they're the greatest thing in the world. But yet we have the one who saved our souls, and we don't think it's important enough to go to church. You know, you think, if somebody saved your life, delivered you from death, and they invited you to come to their house once or twice a week, wouldn't you go to their house? Wouldn't it just be common courtesy? Wouldn't it be considered rude if you said, no, I don't have time for you this week? They literally saved your life. But yet Jesus did the same thing in so much of a greater way. He delivered our souls from death, and he commands us, he asks us to come to his house. But yet so many times we say, well, we have other things to do. We've got too many important things to do. We don't have time for God's house this week. Or, well, we only have time Sunday morning. We don't have any more time this week. We should be grateful to the Lord because he saved our souls. And for no other reason, we should come to church because we're grateful for that. Remember, again, those who are forsaking the assembling of ourselves together aren't just forsaking believers. They're forsaking the Lord, forsaking the Lord's presence in his house. We shouldn't be guilty of that. The greatest rewards are given to those who are facing the most. It's not always easy to come to church. When we were down in Florida, you know, it's almost a 30-minute drive to church. And I started thinking, maybe like some of you, wow, this is a little bit of a drive. This takes more commitment than, you know, just being behind the church, living all your life, just being able to walk up to church. It does take commitment to drive 20, 30, 40 minutes to church. But it still shouldn't be an excuse. We should come to church either way. Fact is, people won't always see faithfulness. And people may see faithfulness on the outside when, in reality, the person's heart is far away from God. But God always sees faithfulness. But he also sees unfaithfulness. I read a funny poem this week. The author's anonymous, but it's called Backward Christian Soldiers. And it's a spoof off the hymn. It says, backward Christian soldiers fleeing from the fight, with the cross of Jesus nearly out of sight. Christ, our rightful master, stands against the foe. Onward into battle we seem afraid to go. Like a mighty tortoise moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where we've often trod. We are much divided, many bodies we, having different doctrines, not much charity. Crowns and thrones may perish, kingdoms rise and wane, but the cross of Jesus hidden does remain. Gates of hell should never against the church prevail. We have Christ's own promise, but we think it might fail. Sit here then, ye people, join our sleeping throng. Blend with ours your voices in the snoring song. Blessings, ease, and comfort ask from Christ the King, but with our modern thinking we won't do a thing. And the chorus, backward Christian soldiers fleeing from the fight with the cross of Jesus nearly out of sight. That poem is funny in some ways, but it's also sad. Because the Bible does say, Jesus said that gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So that's something we can stake our lives on. We can stake our lives on church just as well as we can stake our lives on the Lord, and we can stake our lives on God's word. But are we pushing others backwards or onwards? And again, we're all here tonight. We are all faithful to church. But really where I'm driving at is found in the last point. Don't just be content that you came to church. Be bringing others to church. And again, not every person you invite is going to come to church. But more people will come than when you don't invite them at all. It's a simple invitation. We want to go to church, lastly, because Jesus is coming back. It says in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, again being an encouragement to one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That exhorting one another doesn't have to stop in the church. We should be inviting others outside the church. Again, this doesn't just have to be lost people. If there are saved people, many saved people, especially after COVID, completely lost church, lost any contact with church, And there are many people today who would love to be in church if they only had someone invite them. Now, we know statistics aren't everything, but according to a poll by a Christian research group, the most effective way to get someone to church is a personal invitation. That would be pretty obvious, but listen to this. According to the poll, 63% of Americans said that if they were invited personally to go to church, they would go once. Again, we know that 63% doesn't mean everything. If you've been on visitation, if you've invited people, people will say, well, I'll be there Sunday, and you never see them. But again, 63%, that's a high percentage. Many people will come if we'd only invite them. Also in that poll, of those who responded, it was discovered that 7 out of 10 unchurched people in America have never been invited to church. 7 out of 10. Now, how can we complain when people aren't coming when we aren't inviting? That's a lost cause. Not inviting, but complaining is. When God's literally commanded us, He's promised to bless our efforts. So there's nothing to be afraid of. Jesus is coming back. Faithfulness to church isn't just about being there. It's about bringing others. Exhorting one another isn't just exhorting those in your church. It's exhorting those outside the church to come into the church. Some people are afraid to invite others to church because they know they wouldn't be there themselves. They know if they invited somebody, well, they wouldn't be in their pew. If they came Wednesday, well, if they came Sunday, I'd be there, but man, I shouldn't invite them because if they came Wednesday, I wouldn't be there and they wouldn't know anybody. Oh, that's the easy solution. Come Wednesday and keep inviting people. We should provoke others to be in church. Some people are so miserable in church that they'd hate to put somebody else through it. They'd hate to put somebody else through the torture of having to listen to a 30-minute message, an hour message, 30 minutes of music. They don't enjoy it themselves, so why would they invite anybody else? And I know I've talked a lot about some people and some people, but yet in our hearts we can still begin to lose a little bit of faith. And when we're rejected a few times, when we've extended invitations and they rejected us and maybe it wasn't nicely, it's tough. It really is tough to want to go out right away and invite someone else to church or to share the gospel with someone else. But it is commanded. Some people don't invite others to church because they're just a little bit afraid. And that's natural. We're all afraid. Many of us are afraid of confrontation. But you know, some people invite someone to church and say, hey, it's the most depressing way ever. And I've heard people actually do this. They'll say, you want to come to church with me? You only have to come one service. It may not be your favorite, but you can just come for one service. Now, who wants to come to a church when they get that kind of invitation? Well, come to church and maybe we can do something fun afterwards. Like, the church isn't fun. Like, the church isn't enjoyable. No, we go to church because that should be fun. We should enjoy worshiping the Lord and the blessing we get from being around His people. So many people think that they have to go to church and then they have to do something fun afterward to get the taste out of their mouths, to kind of forget the experience. That's a terrible thing. Many people, again, are counting the songs, counting the messages, more than listening to the Holy Spirit working in their hearts. And that's a sad thing. Also, back in that poll, only 2% of church-going people invite someone else to church on a regular basis. And they define a regular basis as every 3 months. Only 2% of church-going people. Now think in your minds of the last time you invited someone to church. Not the last time you shared the gospel, just the last time you handed out an invitation and invited someone to church. Again, don't answer out loud, but just think about it and let the Holy Spirit work as He will. The fact is, if you don't want to go to church, you probably won't be inviting many other people to church. The Lord wants us to go to church. He's commanded us. And again, we can be in church every Sunday, but if we invite others to church, or if we act so miserable when we talk about church, who wants to come to church with us? Sometimes you don't have time to share the gospel with someone. Sometimes it's just really quick in passing, But it's really easy to just hand them an invitation and say, hey, would you come to church with me? At least they know a face at that point. They know someone from the church. How likely are you to visit a restaurant that you have no idea what the food is, how it tastes, what its ratings are? You don't know the chef. You don't know anybody who works there. You don't know anybody who's ever eaten there. You've never been inside the place. How likely are you to go to a restaurant like that? Not likely at all. And yet, we'll assume people are just going to walk through the doors of our church having no idea what it's like. That's a faulty assumption. I'm going to venture to say it's not likely we'd eat at a restaurant that met all those criteria. Put yourselves in the shoes of the other people. Many times we're afraid to invite someone to church, but they're afraid to go to church. We aren't the only ones with insecurities. People are going to be afraid to go to church just like you're afraid to invite them. Someone's got to have the confidence. Someone's got to trust in the Holy Spirit. It may as well be you and say, well, they may not come to church, but hey, they may just be waiting for someone to invite them to a place that feels like home. How can you expect people to come to church when you don't invite them there? Some people may imagine that you don't think they're good enough for church if you don't invite them. They may know you go to church, but if you never invite them, they may think, well, I must not be welcome there. If their church is that great, they would have surely invited me by now. Maybe they just don't think I'm good enough. Maybe I'm not good enough for their church. Again, we're not the only ones with insecurities, but the Lord can work through those and past those. We can't expect God to bless our efforts, soul winning, inviting, when there are no efforts to bless. God can't bless anything that's not there. He can't bless our efforts when there's nothing to bless. And again, this isn't comfortable for me. Maybe it's not comfortable for you. I know I'm not the witness I should be many times. But just because it's hard, or just because we failed at it in the past, doesn't mean it's not worthwhile, and doesn't mean we should quit. Set a goal. Make yourself invite people to church. Go in the back. Say, take three church invitations, and say, by Sunday, I will have given each of these to someone else. Take five and say, I will give each of these to someone by Sunday, or I'll even leave it somewhere for someone. You've got to start somewhere. Even if I don't have a chance to share the gospel, I will give a tract to someone. I will give an invitation to someone. Prayer is, again, the power behind all this. Prayer changes things. Prayer can change your heart. Prayer can change you from fearful and timid into a courageous soul winner. Prayer can even change the people you talk to before you've even met them. Every time when we go out on visitation, we're going to go tomorrow. Every time before we go on a visitation, one of us always prays and asks the Lord to prepare the hearts of the people we're going to speak to. Because it's so important. And the Lord can work ahead of time. Jesus is coming. He said he's coming quickly. So we've got to be faithful to the Lord's house, to worship the Lord, be faithful to encourage one another, but exhort others. Exhort others, encourage others to come. Do you want to go to church? Well, then bring others with you. Invite others to come. Don't come alone. You'll never be sorry you did. Just be contagious in your inviting. Just have a smile when you invite someone. So few people today will even have a smile when they talk to someone. If you just have a smile when you hand an invitation to someone, even if they don't come to church, they will remember you for a long time. Be encouraging even in your witnessing. Show some excitement. God will bless your efforts. And again, let's read verse 23. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. God is faithful to every promise he's made. And so we can be faithful to him. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you that you've given us a church to come to. Thank you for this wonderful church family. And Lord, the blessing that we are to one another. And Lord, we trust that we are a blessing to you in your eyes. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be content with the family we have, but Lord, that we would be going out and witnessing to others, bringing others into your house. Lord, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. It's where we can hear the truth more often than any other place. And Lord, I pray that you would bring more sheep into the fold of salvation, and Lord, that you would bring more sheep into your house. Lord, please bless our efforts. Help there to be efforts on each of our part for you to bless. Please help us to be faithful as you are faithful to us. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.